NFLTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And hey, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account is called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. I am Sir Rock, and joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Dude, this song is like a banger, man. Like, it hits.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So, we're here to talk Monday Night Raw, and one of the main themes of the show was retribution and payback. Not talk about the group or the previous pay-per-view. Oh no, we're talking about Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. So the Viper, the Legend Killer, opens the show, and he's talking about how he's the number one contender and how he's going to, you know, win the WWE Championship if Drew McIntyre shows up. If he shows up. But then he said, you know, you could just hand me the title. But no, that's not a thing. Because an ambulance siren hits, and out came Drew McIntyre. Randy's like, oh my god, I can't believe it, he's here. And then he gets dropped with a Claymore kick. This made Adam Pearce, authority figure Adam Pearce, very, very mad. And told him he needs to leave because he's not medically cleared to be here. And McIntyre says, okay, sure, whatever you say. Mr. Pierce.
Poor Adam Pierce. He's really trying.
And then there's an interview going on backstage, and then you see Drew show up. And he a couple times, and he can't just find the exit. He's struggling finding out how to leave the building. So Randy then takes on Keith Lee. Great counter of the RKO by Keith Lee. And then, out of nowhere, after the RKO, Claymore kick. McIntyre walks past authority figure Adam Pierce. Randy is hurting. Authority figure Pierce is apologizing to Orton profusely. Orton was not taking any of it. Then Randy gets found by Drew McIntyre backstage, and well, he got dropped again in the ring, the interview ring backstage, for another Claymore kick. Three of them on the show. Three of them. The same amount of punts it took to slightly fracture his jaw. React.
I liked that you had Drew come back and kind of return on Randy the favor that was bestowed upon him before payback.
Two weeks ago,
essentially. I'm going to say, honestly, though, that three punts versus three Claymore kicks, even though they've devalued the punt
over recent weeks, I'm going to say that three punts are still greater than three Claymore kicks. I'm going to throw that out there, and I don't really care who hears me. Because the punt is just such a devastating move in WWE in general, to the point that it was actually banned for a really long time. Randy couldn't do it for years, literally, and then they allowed him to kind of bring that back and start doing that again, because mainly it was due to head injuries that they were concerned about. So just on that basis alone, and the fact that the punt has left most people except for Shawn Michaels and Drew McIntyre laying.
I mean, Shawn, it's gotta be Shawn.
It's Shawn, right? Shawn, like, you give Shawn the bye. But yeah, I'm gonna say, I mean, it's a nice return. It's a good way to get Drew McIntyre back in. I liked how you had Adam Pearce running him off the whole time, where he's like, dude, you're not medically cleared. Leave. Okay. Dude! Okay! Sir! This is a Wendy's! Go! And McIntyre finally does leave after the third one, and poor Adam Pearce and Pat McAfee were just, like, sending the ambulance off, and they're like, god damn it, we're gonna get fired, aren't we?
Pat McAfee?
Or not Pat McAfee, Pat Buck.
Pat Buck, yeah. I was like, wait, Pat McAfee was on this show?
I saw Pat McAfee in the chat, and I get Pat Buck and Pat McAfee confused, which I really shouldn't, because one is, like, really ultra tall, and one is not, but when I say Pat McAfee, unless we're actually talking about Pat McAfee, I probably mean Pat Buck.
So, I have a tweet of the week right now.
Okay.
Adam Pearce, I need a drink.
I agree, sir. Go get you one. There's a fancy restaurant somewhere in the Amway Center. I'm sure it's still open. But, I mean, to kind of go back for a second to the match with Keith Lee, I liked how it was another solid contest between Randy and Keith. Obviously, it wasn't meant to be much because Drew was going to interfere. And Keith was not happy that Drew interfered, so they could be setting something up after Keith Lee is done with Randy Orton and Drew is done with Randy Orton for Drew and Keith to potentially have a little tiff because of it, but we'll see. But I liked this. I liked all of this. I thought it was a nice continuation of the story. I did like that they kept Drew McIntyre off of TV for 2 weeks. I would have wished if they had done it for longer, just because they basically said that, oh, Drew McIntyre could have a fractured skull, oh, he has a broken jaw, and he's back in 2 weeks. And well, it's a fracture, y'all. It's a fracture. It's not actually broken. It's a fracture, which it must be a hairline fracture.
Yeah, which they said it was.
So, you know, because they didn't wire his jaw shut or anything. So, you know, it's a hairline fracture. He's fine. Even though he can't take any hits to the face, he's good. But yeah, this overall was good.
Now I'm going to let Lindsay rant.
Oh god. About what?
Retribution.
Oh my god. Oh my god, y'all. They finally did it. After months at this point, 6 weeks, some ridiculous amount of time like that. Since all these shenanigans started with Retribution and their property damage and attacking people and everything like that. They finally got themselves a logo. Somebody finally coughed up the money to get the logo. They stole the Shield camera, or acquired a camera, a good quality one at that. And they got some voice changers, and they were able to get a feed to the truck, because y'all, Retribution finally put out a goddamn mission statement! It happened! It finally happened! I've been screaming about it for weeks now! Of how the fuck do you make Retribution interesting? You tell people why they're there. And they finally told people why they're there. And I just, well, I'm really happy they did this. Because yes, finally, after forever, it happened. But I just don't know if I can buy into it yet.
So,
because like I said last week, it's almost to the point that I just don't care.
So, this Thunderdome is only a facade. Behind this mountain on the screens is the same foundation, the same WWE as before, the same behemoth who just discarded and disowned us, leaving us to survive in an unfair world, where the powerful continue to grow while we are left to feed on nothing but the scraps of the contempt. But the contempt is a powerful motivator. We are driven to destroy, and every superstar and every fan blinded, and you cannot see what you do not have. So the locus of contempt will feed upon you. The darkness of retribution will seep into the pores of every superstar and all of your so-called universe. We are Retribution.
Okay, I'm just going to say this up front. This feels like a rework of Sanity.
We are one. We are one. The chosen
that
ones.
Too.
Aces and eights.
Yeah, this is... I can tell you right now that the girl up front on the left is, I believe, Mia Yim. I think it's Mia Yim. And I think the guy in the back that was speaking is Dominic Dijakovic.
Dijakovic?
Dijakovic. Dijak. However the hell you say his name. It's other Dominic.
Other Dominic.
Which they're going to have to change his name because we can't have two Dominics on the same
show. Yeah, I know. And the other one just took off and became a star.
Yeah. So,
He might just become Dijakovic.
Yeah, he could just become that. So this was, I'm very, very, like I said, I'm very happy that they finally did this, that they're finally putting some sort of effort and giving them some kind of focus, but it just feels like this is a little bit too little too late for them. They had an opportunity in the first 3 weeks, I would say, of Retribution being around to really get people on board with this, and they just, for whatever reason, didn't do it. And so now here we are, like I said, what, 6 weeks later?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're finally hearing from them. And it's like all we've seen them do is beat people up, which is a nice progression from doing property damage. But it's like there's no rhyme or reason. They're just a disruption. They're just a disturbance. WWE security is apparently shit because they keep getting in. And so, you know, it is what it is, right? I would be curious to see where they go with it. I want to give it a chance, but it's going to take a lot for me to get back into this. They're going to have to do something really
impactful,
epic, whatever, to get my attention back and really make me like this, because I just, it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Retribution. Don't really care, you know? So we'll see. We'll see where this goes.
So they interrupted the Nia Jax versus Ruby Riott Liv Morgan match that just ended because reasons. Before that, Shayna lost to Liv and Ruby. Thanks to Nia.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm really okay with that because I would rather have they kind of continue that tension between Nia and Shayna where they're not best buddies. They're kind of they're champions sort of by happenstance. So they're going to continue to mess with each other and not realize what they're costing each other in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather have Ruby and Liv get the win just because I want to see them kept together.
Yeah.
And can see that continue to grow.
Asuka and Mickie James meet Natty and Lana. It'll be Asuka and Mickie next week.
I can we combine this with the Billy?
I'm getting there. Okay. So I was going through all the women's matches. So I was trying to get them all done. And then we had Billie Kay take on her former partner, Peyton Royce. Okay. I'm just going to say this up front. Back in the NXT days, and so far on the main roster, Peyton Royce has had an entrance that actually made her stand out. She had some swagger to her. She came out tonight looking like a lost puppy not knowing what to do.
They both did.
Same with Billie Kay.
This was so awkward. Like, Peyton did some really weird split thing. Billie tried to do the pose, but then she's like, no, I can't do the pose because that's like an Iconics thing.
And Peyton did like a backward Shawn Michaels pose. It was awful because they took all the part. Okay. So one of the reasons they neither one got the music is because they're trying to get rid of all the CFO music.
Which is a shame because the Iconics music is so good.
Yeah. Number two, they had an awkward match because like, the look on Billy's face entering the ring was like, I gotta do this. I have to fight her. Really? Okay. Peyton won the match. She's the one who's gonna get pushed. Afterwards, they hug.
Everything about this just felt so awkward and off and wrong. Like, the wrestling was fine. This has nothing to do with the wrestling. They worked okay together. There were some moments in the match where they're like, why are we even fighting each other? Do we even really want to do this? Like, they told a really nice story of how they really actually did not want to wrestle each other, but they were being forced to. So they just fucking carried on with it and did the thing. I don't understand why they just went ahead and went for the match. I just don't get that, because I feel like you could have built something between the two. Like, and maybe that's what they're trying to do, where they're trying to build a feud between the two. You could have had, you know, promos with each other where that could have been really good, a lot of back and forth, and you just build that. But it just feels like they just kind of went for the match, and they're going to throw it away after this, and they're just going to move on.
Yep, they're going to get split up, and someone's going to stay on Raw, someone's going to leave.
Yeah, and I just, this hurt. This really, really, really hurt in a lot of ways, because it's like we're just recovering from the fact that the Iconics broke up, and a lot of people really did love the Iconics and the whole act. And so now it's like we're just going from, hey, they just broke up, to, hey, they're going to fight each other. And it's like, why are we doing this right now, exactly one week after the breakup, with no rhyme or reason? No story to it other than potentially Peyton threw Billy into the underground and Billy got knocked out.
And they didn't even really talk about that much.
And they didn't even really bring that up as a reason why they're wrestling. They're just wrestling each other because they broke up. There was like no, like they literally just threw this to the curb. And we're just like, okay, we're fucking done with this. We're kicking this to the curb. Peace out. Bye. Wrestle. That's it.
Yep. And that's what happened.
I still maintain that there is a reason why they got split up. Somebody's leaving. They want to push somebody. It could be little from column A, little from column B.
They're pushing Peyton Royce.
Yeah. And it could be Billy Kay's leaving. It could be they're putting Billy Kay back down in NXT. Nobody really knows what the reasoning is behind them breaking up the Iconics, but I would imagine that it's probably coming soon. And then we kind of go back to the Lana, Natty, Asuka, Nikki match, which this was a fine match, but I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings when I say this, but you break up the Iconics, who were one of the better, if not one of the top, female tag teams in WWE. They were one of the most long-standing female tag teams. You break them up, but you have Natty and Lana that, outside the first 2-3 weeks where they were really interesting, have done really nothing since, and they're just there. And there's just nothing, there's no spark, there's no nothing, right? They're just there, because it's like when Lana and Natty first got together, it was like, okay, is Lana gonna like manage Natty? And Natty's gonna kind of turn into this like monster heel type character with Lana Beyer, right? Because that's kind of how they set that up. And now they're walking around doing TikTok dances and Instagram photos, and they're being a tag team. And it's just like, what the hell is this? What is this supposed to be? So, and I still maintain I would rather have the Iconics than Natty and Lana. And I don't mean any offense by that. But between the two teams, in terms of just being interesting and just having their shit together in terms of a full act, the Iconics had it. Like, if you needed somebody to go against Nia and Shayna and really pick them apart, because they are so unsettled as a team, with the golden role models gone, that's the Iconics. They can come in and be those girls that just basically point out all their faults and take them apart. And it either splits Nia and Shayna, or it brings them together. And you use the Iconics as the way to do that. But clearly WWE has a plan. Clearly WWE, I guess, knows better than I do. But I just, this Billy versus Peyton hurt. Physically hurt. Not because it was bad, but just because it's like, it's 1 week after the pay-per-view, or not a pay-per-view, 1 week after the split, and there's no story to it. There's no rhyme or reason to the match. They're just going right for it. They didn't bother to build to it. They didn't bother to give any logic behind it. It's just, hey, we're going to throw Peyton Royce and Billy Kay together in a match because fuck you all. That was it. That's what it felt like. I hope I didn't bring everybody down, but that's how I feel.
You're fine. All right. So can we move on from that now?
Ash, real quickly, Sasha and Bayley didn't happen on a commercial break.
No.
No, that happened on Friday, and that was a whole thing that it happened. Shut up, Brent. It happened after a match on Friday where they failed to recover the tag titles, and Bayley full straight up turned on Sasha.
Yeah.
That was on TV.
That was full on TV. It was a 15-minute segment on SmackDown. We'll talk about that Thursday. Probably.
Probably.
In some fashion. So, we talked about Retribution earlier. The geniuses over on the Reddits have changed the audio a little bit and sort of tried to figure out who it is. Let's take a listen.
This Thunderdome is only a facade. Behind this mountain of screens is the same foundation. The same WWE as before. The same behemoth who discarded and disowned us, leaving us to survive in an unfair world where the powerful continue to grow while we are left to feed on nothing but the scraps of contempt.
But contempt is a powerful motivator. We are driven to destroy, to lay waste to every superstar and every fan. Blinded, you cannot see what you do not have. So the locust of content will feed upon all of you. The darkness of retribution will seep into the pores of every superstar and all of your so-called universe. We are retribution!
I don't know.
Here's my thing about that. is for me, I hope it's not a bunch of, like, NXT talent. And here's why. Because they technically haven't been cast off.
No.
If you're going to have them cut that style promo where basically we're going to bring down the WWE because they cast us aside or they pushed us aside, I would really honestly rather it be like the furloughed talent, some of the furloughed talent or past talent that's coming back in to do the storyline. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be NXT talent that's been pushed off to the side. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that works nearly as well as like talent that's coming back that, you know, basically they never gave them a chance and they went out and made a name and then they came back in and they got pushed back down, or they, you know, they never gave them a chance and now they're bringing them back in. Something, you know, basically something along the lines of like a Heath Slater type scenario, without it being Heath Slater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lady's Vanessa Bourne, and I think the guy is Dijak, although it could be Mia Yim too.
Today is one person, tomorrow could be another.
Yeah, I think they're trying to figure out who's going to be in the group, and then once they do the unmasking, that's going to be the group. So I think this is just people that they're using. They're using NXT talent because they're there to help sell Retribution right now, because it's different people every week.
So there you go on that. All right. Other things that happen on this show. This is where Lindsay starts breaking up tag teams.
Sorry, guys.
Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits, took on Garza and Andrade. And, well, Garza left Andrade.
Well, I mean, he left Demi, so.
You know.
You can tell it's post-SummerSlam gearing up for Q3 and Q4 because they're splitting everybody up.
Draft is coming.
Draft is coming, so they're kind of telegraphing who they're going to move around and who they're going to split up. I'm sad to see Angel break off from Zelina and Andrade, but I think it's honestly, if they're going to break that team up, the best solution that you can do, because Andrade needs Zelina. Angel can stand on his own and he'll be fine, but yeah, I'm just sad that they're breaking up, because I always thought they were such a good act, and I feel like that kind of had more miles to it. Basically Angel kind of sort of like licks his wounds and comes back to the group and he's like, okay, so I screwed that up due to youth and inexperience kind of thing. But I guess it's okay. I'm not sure why he screwed Andrade though.
I'm not sure. But
either way, he's a dead man because Zelina's gonna come murder him. So, you know.
So afterwards we heard the music of Cesaro. And Cesaro and his partner Nakamura show up. Why are they here? Well, because of the brand-to-brand quarterly invitational, or something along those lines.
Basically, Clash of Champions, y'all.
No, it's for next week. It allows them to, you know, show up on television. So, they're using this opportunity to make a challenge, Cesaro put it, for the tag champs, first tag champs, next week on Monday Night Raw. I'm here for this.
I'm so here for this.
Also, there's a reason why there's a champion versus champion match next week on Raw. Does everyone know?
No, why?
Is everyone aware?
Enlighten us, Obi-Wan.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah. It's back!
So there's that. Okay. So, it was the Hurt Business taking on Apollo Crews, Ricochet, and Cedric Alexander. Well, Alexander got attacked before the match started, but then he backstabbed his own partners. By God. And now, is he part of the Hurt Business?
I think he is. I think they adopted somebody.
Shelton Benjamin hoped so, or if he wasn't, he'd make sure that he's, you know,
on board.
On board. And make it clear. It led to the VIP lounge. And he said, Alexander talked about going broke with his friends and pointed out that Ricochet's one and only moniker, one and only is a moniker, and the Hurt Business is the future. We had the Viking Raiders, Apollo Crews, and Ricochet come out, leading to an 8-man tag, which had an awkward ending. It appears Ivar may have broken his arm or something.
He hurt himself pretty bad because he threw up.
He threw up his own axe.
Yeah, to indicate that he was hurt.
So it might have been his arm that got broken.
Hopefully not. Like, hopefully he's okay, but something definitely happened in the match because they went for a really, really quick finish on this afterwards to get everybody out of there. And, oh, hey, look, the match didn't get restarted. How about that?
No, it went right to the finish. Ricochet got pinned 1-2, maybe a 3, and they quickly got out of the segment, never to talk about it again.
Amazing how that happens.
I mean, they handled that segment wonderfully.
Sorry, I can't help it. It's going to, like, trickle out of me. By the way, just to back up real quick to the Cesaro stuff, it was awesome that he did the up, up, down, down references on TV. It was a subtle little, I feel like,
acknowledgement shot at, yeah.
At things at the Twitch stuff, yeah. Which we're talking about on Thursday.
Ding.
Maybe.
So, yeah, I said ding. Rey Mysterio and his son and his wife and his daughter, they're coming out to the ring and they're just talking, and Murphy interrupts and he basically challenged Dominic to a street fight tonight. The man, I'm going to stop you right now. Everything's fine with the Twitch stuff. Everyone's going to be okay. Well, we're going to get more detail Thursday. So, street fight is your main event of the show. But before we get to the main event, we have to go underground.
Wait, no. I want to talk about the setup to this.
Okay.
So, they did the challenge, but also the Mysterio family come rolling up all together. They're all happy, and Murphy kind of steps out from the shadows as they walk by. It should also be noted that I apparently broke up Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, the scruntled follower, disciple of Seth Rollins.
So basically, Buddy Murphy has been excommunicated from the Monday Night Messiah cult until he can get his shit together, I guess. I don't know. Seth needs him again. I don't know.
We'll see.
But what I liked about this, and this is going to be the most random reference because only I would remember this, is years and years and years and years ago, not quite Attitude Era, but post-Attitude Era, I guess Ruthless Aggression Era.
You're saying it wrong. Ruthless Aggression.
I can't get that bass. I'm sorry. I just don't have that ability to get that bass.
Ruthless Aggression.
Taker was feuding with Flair.
Uh-huh.
And Taker went after Flair's family.
David.
David Flair in particular, because he was training down at OVW at the time. I think it was his one and only WWE TV appearance, was he got his ass whooped by The Undertaker in a bathroom. But as Taker's sitting there with a bloodied and beaten David Flair on the floor, he's talking about his dad, and then he goes, "Wait, you got a sister." And I bring this up because they have involved Rey Mysterio's lovely daughter in this, where she's showing up with the family now. So you have the beautiful family of four together, which is lovely. And I'm sitting here going, "Go for the sister! Go for the sister! Go for the sister! Do it! Go for her! Do it!" Because it's like just to get in his head. Like, Buddy Murphy's been excommunicated. He's trying to get back in good with Seth Rollins. How do you do that? Go for the sister. And I'm not saying he has to, like, mess her up or anything, but just, like, you know, intimidate her. You know, basically use her as a way to distract Dominic so he can pick up the win. You know, do whatever you have to do, but go for her, so that way the family immediately pivots to protect her. Unfortunately, that's not what happened, but those were the vibes that I got when all of this got set up. I don't think they have to, if they want to kidnap Rey Mysterio's beautiful daughter and sacrifice her to Vince McMahon, I mean, technically Seth and Buddy could do that, a la Taker, in the Ministry of Darkness, but I don't think they can do that on network television anymore. I'm just saying.
Where to, Stephanie?
Stephanie.
Okay. So can we get to the Raw Underground first?
Yes.
So Aleister Black and Kevin Owens were fighting in the Raw Underground. for like 15 minutes, we saw like three of it.
Okay, so I have an issue with this. Because, like, Alistair 1 in the Raw Underground is a fantastic thing. Like, to the point that he's supposed to be selling that he has an injured eye. And he just rips off the eye patch at one point because he's like, fuck it, I can't see. So the eye patch just comes off. And so Kevin comes in and tackles Alistair. And they start fighting, right? And we cut away. And you think we're going to go to commercial. And you think we're going to come back to that. Oh, no. No, no. We go to something else, and 15 minutes later, Aleister Black and Kevin Owens are still beating the ever-living fuck out of each other in the Underground.
Until Dabo Kato showed up and took them both out.
I was not a fan of this. It's like, you should have just gone back to this. Because the idea that in that type of environment that that fight is going to last 15 minutes before some big dude shows up and beats the shit out of both of you is just a little absurd. I'm sorry. Y'all should have just gone back to it, done the thing, and then gone to the segment that you went to in between these two things. That's me. That's me personally. But I feel like that just makes more sense because it's just... Oh, we're back. It's like, oh, they're fighting. We didn't get to see any of it. 15 minutes later, oh, they're still fighting. Okay, yeah, sure. That's a thing that really happens. Okay, yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel like it takes a little bit of legitimacy away from the Raw Underground because, like, Alistair and Kevin were legit beating the shit out of each other. Like, there was no wrestling involved. It was just, we finally got to see Alistair's MMA background and Kevin's sort of brawling background meet. And it was amazing, and I want more of it, and we got none of it, pretty much, and I just, it's like, okay, alright, sure, we'll go with that.
So, the name of the game tonight is Retribution and Payback, includes our main event, Murphy versus Dominic Mysterio. Yep, you heard me. Our main event of Monday Night Raw, Murphy and Dominic Mysterio.
With family.
With family. But if you told me 6 months ago that Dominic and Murphy would be your main event on the show, I'd call you nuts.
And there was no Seth Rollins
at all
to be seen.
So
he was nowhere on the show.
Murphy, or I should say, Dominic, dove from the crowd.
Those screens had a family, damn it.
By God, they had a family. So it was a street fight, but it was so they could brawl around the arena a little bit. But then used kendo sticks. And they got Murphy tied up in the ropes. And Dominic got some shots in. Ray got some shots in. And Aaliyah and Angie also got shots in. As Michael Cole told us, Murphy quit. Yes, I said Michael Cole. Because apparently Tom Phillips got a day off.
Probably couldn't come in or something like that.
Or he scheduled a day off. It's Labor Day. I mean, he has the right to take a day off.
He does. He absolutely does. So one, this match made me want to aspire to get into a street fight in Louis Vuitton and designer heels, because that's what the entire Mysterio family, except for Dominic, were dressed in, was Louis Vuitton. And for the ladies, it was designer heels all the way. Like, even the white button down was designer. And I'm just like, I aspire to that. Like, I really kind of want to stand at the ringside of WWE in designer everything with a kendo stick in hand, ready to beat an Australian man at the end of the night with it. You know, just that's life goals. That's goals right there. I feel like there was some big DE going on during that, but I feel really bad for Buddy Murphy. I'm sorry. I just feel really, really bad for Buddy Murphy because while they made Dominic look great and, you know, Buddy did his job and Dominic continues to go on the rise,
Buddy took a beating.
Buddy got beat up and kind of made to look like a bitch.
Yep.
I'm just going to say he kind of got made to look really, really weak, especially since he quit the street fight. He didn't get pinned. He quit.
I mean, he was trapped in the ropes, I mean.
But still, like, it's a street fight, right? Like, you could have had Dominic, like, slap a submission on him and tap him. And that would have been better than Buddy being like, oh my god, I quit, because I'm tied up in the ropes. Right? Like, I just... Because Buddy knows how to get out of that. He knows how to work his way out of that. He has the experience, too. But they did not do him any favors. They just simply did not do him any favors with this. whatsoever, so I'm kind of thinking maybe he's going to another brand in the forthcoming draft, and so they're kind of trying to lower his stock down so they can maybe rebrand him again and put him back on the rise, but I don't know. Either way, Dominic gets the win. He looks like a boss. I would say that at some point they do need to break Dominic away from the entire family.
But I think this was this could have been the close off, or when Dominic finally beat Seth Rollins. Who knows?
It could be when Dominic finally beats Seth Rollins, but I mean, it's just,
hey, look, I'm bringing my parents and sister to work with me.
Basically, yeah, it looks like his parents are bringing him to work and they're dropping him off. Like, it's cool if Ray manages him, because it makes sense that Ray would manage him, but have his mom and his sister there. It's like, I get they all want to support each other and it's a beautiful family moment. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's like, it was good on the pay-per-view, but it continuing a couple weeks after the pay-per-view is kind of like,
yeah.
Okay. And there's, like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just at some point, Dominic, I think when he gets his footing, is going to need to stand on his own. Because they're doing for him what they essentially did for Charlotte, which is when they brought Charlotte up to the main roster from NXT, they had her work with Rick to help her kind of get that footing and get herself established and get that name value out there to help make sure that she was going to be a star on the main roster no matter what. And it's not to say that she couldn't do it on her own, but it doesn't help that your dad, who is a 16-time former world champion, can, you know, walk you to the ring.
One final note on this show. R-Truth fought off ninjas in, like, a restaurant thing.
That was the weirdest goddamn segment. I don't even know what that segment was.
No.
Because I'm sitting here and I'm screaming, and this is the world that we live in, that I'm like, that is not 6 feet apart! Like, the way they had the restaurant set up was, it's like, it's not COVID friendly. Legit, I'm like, they're not 6 feet apart. They're all sitting close to each other. I don't think the waiter was wearing a mask. And this is the world that we live in. This is seriously the world that we live in, just because when you go to a restaurant here, that's how it is. Like, the tables, they have them, like, spaced where it's, like, every other one is blocked off, and all the waiters have to wear masks, and the waitresses have to wear masks, and, like, everybody in the restaurant, they have to wear a mask. And I think it's very similar guidelines in Florida as well, but it's just, like, there's nothing about that, any of that, that was COVID-friendly at all. Nothing. And they had, like, a ninja come up through the table from under the old, lid trick. And then they had Tozawa show up, and the manager got tackled, and the ref was a ninja. So I guess they adopted the ref as a ninja.
Okay. One day, when they're back out on the road and able to travel, and they land in, I guess, Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want Ninja to be there as a ninja.
No, I mean, he's unemployed, so they could... I don't know if they could get him, actually.
They could get
him. But you should probably tweet that at him.
Yeah, one day. Anyway, that's the post-show.
I mean, overall, it was a good Raw. It was an entertaining Raw. There's some interesting things going on. And I can't scream about what I really want to scream about, so I'll have to save it for Thursday.
Thursday. Before we get to Thursday... Available tomorrow, we'll see Burrito Not So Live as we talk all things AEW. All Out 2020. We'll talk about it on Burrito Not So Live. Thursday night, Zarak, live, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, tune in, because we will have news, notes, NXT, all your favorites, and we will be doing a discussion because we have no pay-per-view. So, tune in for that. You don't want to miss it. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
You can check out The Rack Extra Reviews Madden 21, The Rack Extra Reviews UFC 4, The Rack Extra Reviews PGA Tour 2K21. All available at RackRadioShow.com. More coming.
Dang! So much secret content. So much.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. If they want to talk wrestling on a Sunday night, they will. It's called Wrestle Talk Radio. We will be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag ad, my partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LANSWARD.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films. That's youtube.com/MBG1211. We will see you Thursday night for the rec, and right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.